talk about homes, you know, about the homes, and Quran, there's only one place it mentioned about the homes, but everywhere it is like the car. Why are our people teaching to the office talk about homes and don't say anything about the car?
Yes, the car, thank you. The car is frequently used in the literal meaning of the word also. In some places, different texts, it is used in the literal meaning of the word. And the literal meaning of the word in Arabic, zakat, means a tax. So it includes the books also. And second of all, as we also believe in the zakat, but since zakat is applicable on those nine things, you know, al-qallatul arba, the four kinds of crops, gandum, jaw, khurma, kishmish, you know, four kinds of crops, and al-an'amus salasa, the three kinds of animals, like the cow and buffalo and, you know, the goat and sheep, you know, and camel, three classification of animals, al-an'amus salasa, and al-zahab al-fitwa, and the gold and silver in the form of coins. So these are the nine things upon which the zakat is levied in the Sharia. Since those nine things, that means, are not available for people living in the cities and metropolitan areas. So we don't talk about zakat in the metropolitan area because nobody has like the crops of wheat and barley and, you know, raisins, and nobody has the cattle and sheep and camel here in the cities. Those are the scholars who go to the villages where people have these things upon which the zakat is levied. They do talk about zakat. But since those things are not available in the cities, so we don't talk about zakat. But this is one aspect. From the other aspect, the word zakat in Arabic, in several places where it is used in the Arabic language, it includes homes also, because zakat is, in several places in Arabic, is used in the literal meaning of the word, which means a tax, including homes also. So, are you not supposed to pray the missed prayers of your mother? Is it not haram for a man to kill a man? You said only to kill children. Yeah, it's haram to kill a man also. Of course. It's haram to kill a man also. But what I was talking about is that in the time of war, when there are men fighting against you, if there are men fighting against you, you would defend yourself. So we are talking about that. So, you know, there are women in the houses and or whatever, so we don't kill the women. Islam is not allowed to kill a woman, unless if a woman takes up arms against you. That's a different story. But, you know, and she attacks you and then you defend yourself, that's something else. But otherwise, Islam doesn't permit to kill the women or the children. Likewise, Islam doesn't permit to kill a man also, but we are talking about in the case when the man is fighting against you and you are defending yourself. Yeah, the prayers of the mother are not wajib in the Sharia.
One interruption, sorry. I just want to tell the little children if they can go downstairs to get lunch. The children's lunch is available downstairs, so please go ahead. Adults can go later on.
Bismillah.
Yeah, it's not wajib. To pray the prayers of the mother, it's not wajib. If you pray, you get a lot of sawab, of course, because mother has so much great haqq, which is more than the haqq of the father in several aspects. But in this matter, no, it's not there in the Sharia. And continuation of question asked in the last session, I wanted you to specify our responsibility. Definitely, Allah will guide us on the right path, but does that mean we should not read, learn ourselves? Yeah, of course we should learn ourselves, no question about that. We have to learn from the cradle to the grave, which is compulsory in Islam. It's a fariza in Islam to keep on learning, and of course that we should continue to do that, no doubt about that. If the eldest son dies dies soon after the father, is it the duty, wajib, for the next eldest son to pray the common prayers of the father? No, it's not the duty of the middle or the younger son. If a person has missed many prayers in the past and he does not remember the exact number of what should he or she do, is it okay to simply ask for forgiveness, or is it obligatory to make as many prayers as possible? Oh, well, you have to think hard. The best what you can remember. You have to do as many prayers as you can remember. The impossible on you that you missed. For example, you are unclear whether you missed 6 months of prayers, or 7 months of prayers, or 7.5 months of prayers. You don't remember. But the minimum you remember is 6 months. Whether it is 7 or 7.5, you are unsure, but 6 is for sure. 6 months. So that much is still wajib on you to do, 6 months of the prayers. Now the rest of the 1.5, you're not sure, that's not wajib unless if you are sure. If you do it as ihtiyat, is very good. But what is wajib is as much as you remember.
Wajib-e-fawri and wajib-e-ta'yin on us.
is Fauri and Kepari and Taini to do the nasihat towards that person. And Amar bin Maruf is a totally different subject. I had a workshop of Amar bin Maruf 2 weeks ago in New Jersey. So that's another subject, how to handle it, how much to handle, how many times to handle, what is the way of handling it. It's a whole shara'it, conditions, maratib, and levels of Amar bin Maruf. And animal coverages are totally different and elaborate discussion. But the bottom line is that you have to guide, you have to do Amar, you have to stop the person from the wrong, you have to guide him or her towards the right, and you have to consistently do that till the haram is stopped. So we cannot just say it once and stay quiet that we did our job. No. Allah wants the wrong to stop, and as long as we have the ihtimal al-ta'sir, the probability that our nasihat and advice may be effective on the person, we need to continue guiding and asking the person to do it. Yes.
During salat, like when a train of thoughts arrive, is it better not to pay any attention towards it or do an active mental effort to try to stop it?
We are coming to that aspect as we reach the Sharaitul Qabool. We will be talking about the situation of a person's thoughts and how we are supposed to tackle the situation that different thoughts arrive in our minds at the time of prayers, and or how can we be victorious in terms of controlling our mind and heart and focusing on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is something related to the shara'itul qabool. Our prayers are not accepted unless and until we have huzur al-qalb. So huzur al-qalb is compulsory for the acceptability of our prayers. So we will come to that point very soon.
Allahumma
salli ala
Muhammad. This question is related to the salat for the eldest son, for the qada wa wajib. Is it incumbent upon the son then to find out from his father that whether you have missed any prayer, or is it incumbent upon father to tell the son that I have missed so many prayers?
Yeah, this is a good one. It's incumbent on the father, not on the son, to find out. If a son, let's suppose the father died, the son doesn't know. It's not wrong of him. He doesn't know. He is obliged to do what he knows. But if he doesn't know, then it's not wrong of him. But it's incumbent on the father to. It's our responsibility as mu'min that a mu'min never sleeps without having his wasiyyat and will under his pillow. So it's the job of the father to write it down. Just write down all your wajibat. How many prayers you have did, how many fasting you didn't do, if you have a hajj wajib on you, if you didn't give umms from this and this land, piece of land sitting there since the last 10 years, and you didn't pay umms of that land, do you have such stocks and bonds of 401k, whatever, this much requires the umms and all that, write it down. You borrowed money from some people, some mu'mins, you didn't write it down, the people came back after the death of the guy, and the children are not ready to pay back. Because children don't know the father borrowed this much amount from those people. And now the father is punished in the grave. Because the children are not paying back the money to those people from whom the father borrowed the loan. So we need to write it down. We need to write down our wasiyyat. Keep on updating our wasiyyat as we do our namaz. We strike over that we have prayed this much, this much, this much, and the remainder is still gone. So we need to write down everything. All of our hukukullah and hukukunnas should be written in our wasiyyat. Wasiyyat should be ready, available, known to the children. This is the place where my wasiyyat is. So they know what they can do and how, you know, they can fulfill it.
Some children do know that their parents don't pray. They don't pray, period. They are not like, sometimes they are not able to wake up in the morning or something like that. But they don't pray at all. So is it still wajib for them to pray for their father?
If the children do not, if the fathers and mother do not pray, it's still wajib on the children to do that. But Yeah, some of the scholars have some only. Some of the mujtahids believe that if a person doesn't do the wajib out of arrogance, considering the wajib to be unimportant, wajib ko pe ahmiyat samajhna, khafif samajhna, sabuk samajhna, uski sangini ka ehsaas na karna. If someone doesn't do the wajib, doesn't go for hajj because he didn't used to give any importance to hajj in his life. Some of the mujtahids say it's not allowed for anybody to do hajj for him in the proxy in the Niyamat because he intentionally disrespected the ruling of Allah, and this, for this kind of person who has takabbur and istikbar towards the divine rulings and ayat of Allah, no one has a right to do any wajib on his behalf. So because this is istikbar, this takabbur in the way of the hukum of Allah. You don't follow the hukum, that's a wrong, but at least you're not challenging the legitimacy of the rule and the someone who made the rule, who then devised it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, a woman doesn't do hijab, but at least she's not objecting on the ruling either. She's doing a haram, but she's still fine in the sense that she can still be guided because he's not making an objection on the Islamic ruling. But I'm not following it. I am a bad guy, but I pray to Allah, you pray for me, and Allah gives me tawfiq, so that I may start doing it tomorrow. This is still better. And as compared to those people who start saying, well, this is an Arabic tradition. It was part of the Arabic culture. Nothing to do with the teachings of Quran and Ahlul Bayt. And this is what the mullahs have made up on their own. And you want to take us back 1400 years ago? To the cave age? And ridicule and make fun of the teachings of Imam Khadir alayhi salam. This guy. In some of the cases, we'll come to the discussion, in some of the cases, the guy who has, who ridicules some of those teachings, in some cases, it will take him or her out of the bounds of Islam. We'll come to that discussion. Yes, please.
So how we can calculate our qada namaz, because right from the wajib, we don't monitor any namaz, like sometimes we pray, sometimes not pray. So there is no calculation right from the day one. So is there any thumb rule formula we can calculate our namaz, or what is the question?
Yeah, the best rule of the thumb is that we write it down straight away as we miss it. On daily basis, we don't sleep in the night without doing muhasaba and holding ourselves accountable on a daily basis. That's the rule of the thumb which Islam has suggested. And Imam Qadim alayhi salam has said, Shaysa minna man lam yuhasib nafsahu fi kulli yawm. Someone who doesn't hold himself accountable on every day is not one of us. So what the ruling, the solution that Islam has suggested, that we hold ourselves accountable on a daily basis. That's the way we need to tackle our deficiencies or faults or sins on a daily basis. If a person has already done things in the past and now much water has passed under the bridge already and he doesn't remember, then of course, like I said earlier, you have to think hard as much as you can. What is the minimum number of days that you missed, for instance, like 6 months or 7 months or 8 months, you don't remember. Is it 8 or is 7 or 6? So but 6 you are sure at least, so then you have to pray at least 6 months. So otherwise the solution of Islam is that you write it down daily basis, before sleeping, we hold ourselves accountable.
So this being the last question, please recite the last salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. The restaurant has announced.
Okay, inshallah, after namaz, then we'll again continue the session. So you can ask the question.
At 2 p.m.
Shukriya. Sorry, man.